worship with us today, and I met so many guests already this morning, and we're delighted to have you here and worship with us. We just hope that you feel at home more than anything. We hope that you connect with God today and that you just feel like you can put up your feet and relax and enjoy your time here. I hope your kids enjoy their time in Grove Kids. Have some wonderful, incredible volunteers there. We hope your whole family has a great experience. If you are a guest with us, if you'll stop by the first timetable on your way out this morning, we have a gift there waiting for you. We're delighted to have you with us. We just wrapped up a sermon series last week, and today what I want to encourage you with is something that I think for all of us, we struggle with at certain times, whether we're very vocal about it or not. Some of us are very comfortable with talking to people about our weaknesses, our doubts, what we may be struggling with. Some of us are not. Maybe there's no one that knows the journey that you're going through right now, how difficult it is. Maybe only your spouse knows or one really good friend knows. But what I want to do today, the whole purpose of today, is to encourage those of you who are going through, who have been through a difficult time. And if you haven't, and you go through this journey long enough, you will have times that are difficult. And what I want to encourage you specifically are those of us who may want to just give up. We want to tap out. We want to throw the towel in because there's things that we feel like God has shown us. Pictures that he's given us of maybe what our life would look like with him, or what marriage would look like, or friendship would look like, or family would look like, or ministry would look like, or business would look like. And right now it just doesn't look like that. And it was a picture that God painted for us. It continues to echo in our hearts, even though it may we may feel like we're far removed from it. And we walk and we walk and we get tired and we want to give up. And so I just want to encourage you today as we look at one verse in the New Testament and a passage in the Old Testament. Now, the one verse in the New Testament is kind of our umbrella verse for today, although the Old Testament passage is where we'll spend 95% of our time. Okay, the one verse in the New Testament comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. And it'll be up here on the screen for you. You can turn in your Bibles or on your devices. It says this: you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he's promised. That's what I want to encourage you with today. Did you hear what the writer of Hebrews says? You need to persevere. You need to not give up. Because when you've done the will of God, he will give you what he's promised. That's an encouragement to you and I, because we all go through difficult times. There's times for all of us where we feel like, God, it's just gotten too difficult. And this is what we'll tell ourselves sometimes. Maybe I just heard you wrong. You know, maybe I just got it all wrong. Maybe this has just gotten too difficult. And so that's what we're looking at this morning. And the passage that we're going to look at to kind of illustrate that is in the Old Testament in Joshua chapter 6. So if you want to turn to Joshua chapter 6, that's where we'll be for most of the morning. Now, let me just kind of set up for you. Joshua chapter 6 is the beginning of the children of Israel getting ready to take the promised land that God has promised them for generations. Okay? God has promised it to them. They've yet to possess it. He promised it to Abraham. Abraham didn't see it. He promised it to Jacob. Jacob didn't see it. He promised it to Isaac. Isaac didn't see it. He promised it to Moses. Moses even led the children of Israel out of Egypt, through the desert, as they were wandering. For 45 years, the children of Israel have wandered. And Joshua is on the verge of being able to take the children of Israel, to take his fighting men and their families into the land that God has promised them. But they've not yet possessed it. Now, for my life and your life, what's true in our relationship with God is, you know this, is that you have entered into a relationship with Christ with certain promises. The joy of the Spirit, the strength of God, the peace of Christ. You've been promised those things: joy, hope, peace. And maybe there's sometimes, though, in your life that you've still not possessed it It's been promised to you, but you've still not gone into the land to possess it. And sometimes we get weary because I'm not experiencing joy. I'm not experiencing strength. I'm not experiencing peace. And God, I'm trudging along and I'm doing what I feel like it calls to be faithful, but my marriage is still in the thick of it. And my relationship with these kids are still in the thick of it. And what you gave me as a picture of ministry is not really panning out, or a picture of my business or friendships, whatever it is. And God, if you were really honest, if you were really honest with your spouse or your counselor or your best friend, you would say, you know what, I'm ready to cash in. I'm ready to kind of move in a different direction. And I want to encourage you this morning to persevere. Let's look in Joshua chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. It says this: Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. Jericho is the first city that God wants Joshua to take as he moves into this land that he wants him to conquer. Now there's going to be many more cities that are going to be in front of Joshua. This is the first. Jericho, verse 2. Then the Lord said to Joshua, See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing their trumpets. And when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. Now, finally, Joshua is getting ready to begin possession of the land that God has promised to them. And I want to highlight 3 things for you and I that cause us sometimes to stop and give up. Things that cause us sometimes to not persevere so that we really don't walk in and experience the full promise of God, just like Joshua did in this passage. Here's 3 things sometimes that keep us from persevering. The first thing is this, is that our perspective gets blocked. Our perspective gets blocked. Now, maybe you've grew up in church or you're familiar with the story of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. And if you grew up in Sunday school, and for some of us, that's not our experience. And for some of you, it is. You probably learned a song like I did in Sunday school when I was growing up. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. It was a little song for kids. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. That's what we heard. Well, Jericho was the first city. It was the first city. It was the first battle. And sometimes for you and I, when it comes to our life and what it is that we're walking into, the first battle is the hardest. Now, for Joshua and the children of Israel, that could be true. Although this city was given to them in a very different way than the rest of the cities were given to them. All right? Because in this city, as you saw, what God said to Joshua was this: I want you to do this. He didn't say, I want you to develop a mechanism to knock down the doors, to knock down the gates of the city, to go in and take it. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I want you to take your swords, I'm going to give you favor, and I want you to go in and I want you to conquer the people. He didn't say that. God said to Joshua, and in the passage we read, that's just God talking to Joshua. He said this: this is what I want you to do. I want you to take your men. I want you to have an armed guard out front. I want you to have some priests, 7 of them, blowing trumpets. I want you to have the Ark of God, which was a box that contained religious artifacts that represented the presence of God. I want you to walk that. I want you to have a rear guard, and I want you to march around the city 1 time. I just want you to march around the city 1 time, blow the trumpets on the first day. And on the 2nd day, I want you to take those same guys, march around the city 1 time. And the 3rd day, and the 4th day, and the 5th day, and the 6th day. Now on the 7th day, this is what I want you to do. I want you to march around the city 7 times on the 7th day, and I want you to blow those trumpets, and I want you to give out a loud shout, and I'm going to cause the walls to fall of the city, and you're going to go in and take it. So this city was going to be delivered to them in a completely different way. This was the first city. Now listen, there was going to be a lot more cities. There was going to be a lot more years and a lot more decades until the children of Israel, until Joshua and his men would take over the country that God had promised them. Now, for you and I, it's easy for us to remember, if you're familiar with this story at all, it's easy for you and I to remember, man, cool story, incredible way that God moved. God did it all of himself. The people really didn't do it as much as God just caused it to happen. The people had to have faith. They had to trust God. They had to march around one time for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they marched around seven times. And God himself just caused the walls to come down. I'm telling you, that is an inspirational story. You could tell that story 1,000 times from 1,000 different angles, and it'll light your fire every time, because God is good. That's just the way that he works. It is easy for us to remember that incredible story. It is easy for us to forget that it took 45 years to get there. It didn't just happen like that. It took a long time from the time they left Egypt to get to this place, to stand on the verge of to go in and receive the promise that God had given them. And then after they took over Jericho, it was going to be a long time until they received the full promise of God in giving them a land that would be their country, that would be their identity, that would establish them as the people of God that he would use as an example for the entire world of what his grace looks like. That's the whole reason that he's setting this up. So, it's easy for us to remember the miracle. It's difficult for us to remember the process. And sometimes you and I can look at the success of other people and we oversimplify the process. It's important for you and I to remember it. It wasn't a large city. Jericho could be marched around in about an hour. So it wasn't huge, it wasn't astronomical. I mean, you could march around it in about an hour, but the intimidating thing about Jericho was this. It wasn't the size, it was the walls. It was the walls that went up so high in front of them. They couldn't see what was inside. They didn't know. They didn't know how many people were in there. They didn't know what it looked like. So the intimidating thing were the walls that were in front of them. Now, for you and I, when it comes to our journey with the Lord and the things that he's promised us, what happens for you and I, sometimes the most intimidating thing to us as we walk this journey with him, as we say, Jesus, I trust you that you've asked me to follow you. Although these years in high school are really difficult. These years in college are extremely difficult. As a single adult, does anybody really understand what I'm going through? As a married person, I thought it was going to be like this, and it's not like, and it looks like this. It's very different. I thought having a family was going to look like this, and it's very different. And I've been journeying and journeying and journeying, and God, you gave me a picture of what I thought it was going to look like. It does not look like that right now, but I'm going to trust you, but I'm getting tired and I'm going forward. You gave me a picture of ministry. You gave me a picture of business. You gave me a picture of this friendship, and I'm just about, God, if I were to be real honest, and sometimes I'm not even honest with myself, I'm about to tap out. I'm about to say, I can't do this any longer. What happens in your life and my life is that we spend about 6 days a week just kind of looking at the walls right in front of us, you know? We spend most of our time looking at what's right in front of us, and it skews our perspective. Remember what I said earlier? We're saying that our perspective gets blocked. It's one of the reasons that we want to tap out. It's because I spend, and you spend 6 days a week going, these are the problems right in front of me. These are the setbacks. On Wednesday, these are the deficits. On Thursdays, this is my past. On Friday, this is my problems. And that's the wall right in front of me, and we can't see anything else. Now, this is what I want to encourage you with today. I want to brag on you for just a little bit to say, it's good that you're here. And I want you to be encouraged by the fact of any Sunday morning that you make the effort to get up and walk into this place, that's good. Now, you hear me talk all the time that, you probably hear me talk almost every Sunday that this is not it. You know, that there's a lot more to this life with Christ than this. But I want to spend just a minute talking to you about how good it is for you to be here. Do you know why? Because it helps your perspective. And it helps my perspective. When I get together with you and we sing songs about a God that's so much bigger than me, it's not, all of a sudden, my eyes are taken off the wall that's right in front of me. My perspective becomes different. It's elevated. rather than, and you know what this is like, the problem of the day is the problem of the world, we think. It consumes our thoughts. There's nothing greater than that. It could be a conflict with a friend. It could be a conflict in our marriage. It could be something that's not working out at work. And that problem is the totality of our being. But what happens when we come in here and you gather with the people of God, people who want to know the Lord, and you begin to sing songs and you look in Scripture, and all of a sudden you're connecting with a God that is above and beyond time, right? And so you get the perspective. It's just like yesterday, if you were watching football, which I would, if I polled it, I would say 90% of the people in this room watched football yesterday. Most of us probably watched the Vols game. You got a perspective that the guy that was on the defensive line, he saw the guy that was right in front of him. That was the biggest thing that he saw. That's the wall in front of him. Now, he's trying to get a picture of everything that's going around, but mainly he's got that guy in front of him. You and I, watching from home, got to see cameras from the offensive side and cameras from the defensive side and aerial views and side views. We got to see it all, and then we got to coach and talk about what we would do because we're perfect. You know what I'm saying? Now, yeah, I can't believe they didn't do this because we're seeing all sides of it. Here's the deal. When you and I come in this place, or you're at home and you open up the Bible, or you begin to just put your heart and your mind on God and you begin to sing to Him or read about Him, your perspective is elevated, and all of a sudden you begin to see things that the God who is not limited, who sees all things, who doesn't wring his hands about the economy, who's not overwhelmed because of the problem that's right in front of you, who's not taken about, who's never shocked, who's never surprised, who has it all under control, when you and I do that, all of a sudden, what? We have perspective. But when we've been journeying for a long time, one of the things that makes us want to give up is when our perspective is blocked. And the way to regain that is to get our eyes on Him. Now, I want you to look at verses 1 and 2. Because these two verses could not be any different from each other. We're going to throw 1 and 2 back up here on the screen. It says this: Now, the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Now, I want you to listen to how opposite verse 2 is. Verse 1 says, the gates were barred. The people of Jericho were afraid, and they're not letting any Israelites in, and they don't want anybody coming in, and they're not letting anybody out. Now look at verse 2. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands." Let me encourage you something, friends. Only God speaks in the past tense of giving you a battle you've not even fought yet. God says, "I've given Jericho to you before you even fight the battle." Only God can do that. That's the promise of God. Verse 1 says, "I'm not letting anybody in. They're not letting anybody in. They're not letting anybody out." And verse 2 says, "Listen, I've already given you the battle." That's how big God is. That's how confident God is. That's the perspective that God has on the journey that you're going through. Now listen, I'm doing the opposite of trying to minimize anything that you're going through. I'm trying to tell you that we all go through it. And God understands it. God's not looking at you going, "I can't believe that you're struggling with it." No, He knows we're made of dust. He knows that we're imperfect. He knows that we struggle. And He wants to be there right in the middle of our struggle. But here's the thing that we need to realize. God, when He promises us something, just like He promised you peace and joy and strength, and just like He's already promised you, if you've entered into a marriage, He paints a picture for us of what marriage should look like. He paints a picture for us of what dating relationships can look like in purity and what that can create later on for us. He paints a picture of what relationships, friendships can look like when we serve other people and love other people and we forgive other people and we say we're sorry and I need to be forgiven. He makes promises to us about what community can look like, that you and I can have good friends that we go through life with that know us and we know them. And they celebrate the good things that happen in our life. And they cry with us in the difficult things that happen in our life. And we can be completely honest with them. And listen, I'm already starting to paint some things that you're going, I don't know. That's the picture. That's just a few pictures that Scripture paints for us. Promises that God gives us. And God says this, listen, don't let the setback of today, don't let the deficit of today, don't let your past, don't let your problem of today block your perspective, that it stops you, that you tap out, that you throw in the towel and you say, listen, I can't do it anymore. I can't do it anymore. Don't let that happen. Don't let that. Don't give up. Don't give up. Verse 1 and 2, there's such a difference there. There's such a dichotomy there. One says, we're not letting anybody in. The verse 2 says, I've already given you the battle. Have you ever felt like that the promise that God was saying to you or the picture that God was painting for you did not match what was going on inside of you? You ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like that what you felt like God was saying to your heart, God was saying to your heart, I'm giving you victory. But inside, if you were honest, all you felt like was defeat. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like that God was promising you and God was saying, listen, I'm going to give you healing, but inside you just felt broken? Have you ever felt like that God wanted you to go and share Christ with someone? He just laid somebody on your heart, but inside, if you were honest, you had your own doubts about the existence of God. Have you ever felt like that the revelation of God did not match your reality? Have you ever felt like that God wanted you to be generous, that He wanted you to use your stuff to meet somebody else's needs, but all you could think about inside was the fact that you had needs of your own, and how would you be able to give to anybody else? That the promise of God didn't match the reality of what you were thinking or what you were feeling. How do you think that Joshua felt when God said, listen, I don't want you to use any military weapons. I want you to use trumpets. I want you to blow horns. I want you to march. That's what I want you to do. It had to have been, it could have, in Joshua's mind, it's like, what was he thinking? I don't know if you're familiar with Joshua chapter 1, but I'm not going to read out of Joshua chapter 1, but I would encourage you today, tonight, sometime, pull out your Bible and look at Joshua chapter 1 because it's beautiful. It's the transition from Moses to Joshua. And there's so many... There's passages in there that I prayed for all three of my sons in the 9 months before that they were born. And God is telling Joshua, because He knows what Moses has done and the leader that Moses was, and Moses is not going to lead the children into the promised land, and Joshua has got decades in front of him, and he's got a big task in front of him. And the main story of Joshua chapter 1 is, only Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, because I'm going to ask you to do things sometimes that don't make sense. And I'm going to ask you to do things sometimes that are going to scare you. You're going to shake in your boots because of the things I'm going to ask you to do. Just be strong and courageous, because I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. That's the promise of God. And when you and I stop and we don't persevere, we never possess the promise. When we give up, we don't possess the promise. Here's the second thing. Second thing that keeps us from possessing the promise, that causes us to stop and give up, is this. Is that our progress isn't always obvious. We can't see our progress. So God said to Joshua, those first five verses that we read, I want you to march around the city one time each day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, I want you to march around seven times, blow the horn, shout, and I'm going to cause the walls to fall. Now, that was the first five. These next verses are Joshua talking to his fighting men, talking to the children of Israel. Okay, now listen to what Joshua says and listen to what Joshua does not say. Okay. We'll talk about that. Verse 6. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have seven priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army advance, march around the city, and an armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord. And when Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, then shout. That's day one. All right? And they're doing exactly what God asked them to do. Send a front guard, send seven priests with seven trumpets, send the ark of God, and send a rear guard and march around the city. That was day one. Now listen to day two, verse 11. So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to the camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. This is day two. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord, blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. Now, I want you just to imagine for a minute. Let's just kind of step outside and try to think of this from the perspective of the fighting men of Joshua, the fighting men of Israel. That Joshua's giving them these instructions. Now, they're thinking, okay, front guard, priests, trumpets, ark, rear guard, we're doing this, we're going to march, we're going to do this one time today. And then the next day they get up and Joshua tells them what to do. Now, what I want you to notice is this. We don't have any record, so we don't know for certain, but we don't have any record that Joshua told them the full picture that God had told him. God told him, this is what I want you to do for 6 days, this is what I want you to do on the seventh day. When Joshua talked to the fighting men and the children of Israel, he said, this is what I want you to do on the first day. Then he said, let's do this on the second day. And let's do this on the third day. So you think about if you don't know the whole picture, you're just one of the fighting men of Israel. And so you go out and you're thinking, okay, here we are. Our previous generations were disobedient. Our previous generations didn't follow God. They didn't take the promised land. God's chosen us. We're following Joshua. We're going to take the promised land. Here we are. Swords by our side, we've been trained, God is with us, and we play trumpets, and we walk around the city one time for 1 hour, and we have 23 more hours left. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what they're experiencing. That's what's going on in their mind. Now, if I were God, now, that's just like the scariest statement probably anybody could ever say. But any of us, if we were God, this is how I would deal with it. I would deal with it this way because this is the way I want to be dealt with. Because I would deal with it this way. As the men were walking around the city, I would, on the first day, I would just let a little bit of the wall crumble. You know what I'm saying? Like 1/7. Because I want them to be encouraged, right? I want them to be motivated. I want to pat them on the back and say, guys, you're doing a good job. You're being faithful. You marched around one time. There goes the seventh of the wall. Second day, a little bit more crumbles. Third day, just a little bit more crumbles. You know why? Because that's what I like. That's what I want to see. I like to see progress, right? You like to see progress. I want to see that by the sweat of my brow, I don't mind to work hard and I don't mind to stay up late and I don't mind to sacrifice, but I do want to know that in that sacrifice, and to use an analogy from yesterday, that the ball is being moved a little bit further down the field. You want that to happen in business. You want that to happen in your marriage and in your family. Me too. I feel like I see the picture. I don't mind to work for it, but I want to see progress. God doesn't do it that way. God just comes along and says, Joshua, this is what I want you to do. Joshua tells the men, this is what I want you to do. Now, can you imagine being one of those men and you go home at night to your wife and you say, and your honey, your wife just kind of comes to the door and says, honey, it's so good to see you. I mean, what enemy have you been fighting today? I mean, what great thing has God done with you today? I mean, who did you overtake today? What's God been doing? Well, it's kind of like a marching band. I mean, we walked around the city. I mean, I'm just trusting Joshua, you know, that he knows what he's doing. But this is kind of like preseason, you know. I mean, we're just kind of out there, it's like stretching out. And we're not using our swords and we're not like taking anything. And I mean, I don't get it, honey. I don't understand. I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't say this to anybody else. I wouldn't want anybody else getting the wrong perspective. But why in the world would we go and just like march around a city one time and blow some horns? And then the second day you go out and you come back and your wife says exactly the same thing. Honey, how'd it go today? And you're like, well, this may shock you, but then we did this. See, they don't have the perspective of, the fighting men of Israel don't have the whole picture. So it's not like on the first day they go, six more days and we're taking the city. It's not like on the second day they come home and they're just all motivated. And they're like, five more days, third day, four more days. They don't see the end result. One of the things for you and I that can be so frustrating when the picture that we felt like God painted for us in whatever area it is of our lives that we're struggling with right now, one of the reasons that we want to stop, we don't want to persevere, is because we can't see progress. And we feel like we need to see that progress in order for us to feel good about the fact that God is working. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. The third thing is this. One of the reasons for you and I that we want to give up, that we want to tap out, to not persevere, is not only is our perspective blocked, not only is it the fact that we can't see progress, but the last thing is this, is we feel like that the process is open-ended. We don't know when the end will come to this process. We don't know when day 7 is going to come, that there's going to be breakthrough, that I'm going to receive the promise, the picture that I've been laboring for and praying for and trusting for, and I am tired and I am about ready to tap out. And one of the reasons that we end sometimes and we see pictures all around us of people who quit is that we can't see the end of the process. Now, some people love to work out, you know. Some people just work out to stay healthy. If I work out when I work out, it is not because I love to work out. It's just because I want to see my grandchildren, all right? It's just because I want to grow old. It's because I want to be healthy. And one of the things for people that love to work out, they just go and they work and they come up with all kinds of different things and stay as long as they want. But for me, when I go to the gym, if I'm on the treadmill or I'm on the elliptical, do you know what the focal point of my time there is? It's the clock right in front of me, because I've decided that I'm going to do this for 30 minutes. If I'm out walking on the track or if I'm going to go anywhere else, I've got a watch on and I'm counting down the time. I mean, that gives me control. That helps me to know there's an end process to this. I mean, that's one of the most frustrating things in the world. Now, if you've ever played sports, you know what that's like, because you're not in control, because you've got a coach. It's a basketball coach or a football coach or somebody, and they're having you run. And you're thinking in your mind, how long is this joker going to make us run? But you would never say, coach, how much longer? And you'd never say that, right? Because you know what he's thinking or what she's thinking, as long as I want you to run. And that's the most frustrating thing, because you don't know when it's going to end. They're just telling you, this is, you know, I want you to run and I'm in control and this is what's going to happen. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God gave us a clock to our prayers and we could just see it count down until we receive the promise? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be great if God gave us a spiritual or internal clock or a physical clock that said, you know that dream I gave you? You know that thing I birthed inside of you? That's how much more time you have. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be incredible if God gave you and I a clock to our pain? We just hunker down and we could just gut it out, because I could see it counting down. I knew that the time would be. Wouldn't it be wonderful if when you're in a season of life where all your friends are getting married and you haven't yet, that God said, 18 months. 18 months, you're going to be the man of your dreams. 18 months, and you're going to see the woman that you've always prayed for. I mean, you'd be like, I can do that. I can stay pure for 18 months. I can do what God wants me to do. You'd be telling other people, hey, 18 months, I'm meeting her, y'all. I mean, you know, I've been telling you about it. I've been saying remain faithful. And that's what's going to happen. You'd be talking to people. You'd be posting it on Instagram, you and nobody besides you. But you'd be like, in 18 months, that's where she's going to be. That's what you would be talking about. It's like some kids, there's a family that we've been helping out over the last couple of weeks. I've been telling you, so many people have been gracious. You've taken dishes and clothes and all kinds of household items, because we discovered this family through some friends, through a school, through a social worker at the school. We went over there, a lovely lady with four kids, young ages. The only thing in the apartment was four mattresses. That was it, four mattresses and a crib. No living room furniture, no bedroom furniture, no dining room furniture, no lamps, no light at night, just a TV. That's all it was. And so in the past 2 weeks, you guys have filled her apartment full of furniture. And a couple of weeks ago, we had some high school and college kids go and pick up some furniture and deliver it. And they came back and said that they delivered the furniture. And the kids were like out in the neighborhood going, "We've got furniture. Y'all come over. We've got furniture." They were just so excited. You know, that's what you and I would be doing. If God just kind of gave us something, we'd be out. We'd be telling everybody. We would be announcing it at the top of our voices. That's what we would do. Now, the reason that God didn't do it the way I want it done, the reason that God didn't progressively tear down that wall a seventh at a time every day for 7 days, is He's saying this: I want you to march and trust that I'm working. I want you to trust me. I want you to have faith in me. That even though you don't see the progress of your hands, and even when you see the wall that's right in front of you, and even when you don't know how many days you're going to have to walk around this city, you don't know that it's 6 or 60 or 600. I want you to trust me. I don't want you to trust in the sweat of your own brow. As much as you love progress, it is your God. I want to be your God. I want you to know that I have an aerial view. I want you to know that I transcend time. That I see the picture of what I want you to be, young man, as you grow up to be a man of God. And I see what I want your family to look like that honors God. You are a light to the world. You are a light to your neighborhood. You are a light to your public school. I want you to see what it's like to date somebody and have a relationship that honors me. And when you get married, you don't have any regrets. I want you to see what a business looks like that I promised you. I want you to see what the ministry's like that I promised you. That's what I want you to see. Here's where we get mixed up sometimes, is we start walking our life with the Lord and we begin to think, we begin to have the mindset that the central point of all of this is for God to give me what I need. Is for God to put stuff in my hand. Is for God to give me what He promised, and I see those promises as things, as stuff. And the whole time God's saying, but first, it's what I want to do in you. Then I'll give it to you. But giving it to you cannot precede what I want to do in you. And you've got to trust me. You've got to have faith in me. Oh, persevere. Don't give up. Friend, don't give up. You're on the sixth day. Don't give up. Some of you right now are on the sixth day and you don't even know it. And you're about to give up. You're on the verge of giving up. How many people have tapped out of their marriage on the sixth day? How many people have given up on their families on the sixth day? Who walked out of their ministry or walked out of their business or walked out of their friendship. And it was the sixth day. Walked out on their relationship with God because, God, I trusted you. I got tired. The problems were before me. They were endless. I couldn't see progress. It seemed open-ended. And I quit. Don't give up on the sixth day. If you watch NASCAR, and these guys have got all kinds, the drivers have got all kinds of gadgets and stuff inside their car where they can read everything, but one of the things they're reading is how many laps they have left. They can see exactly how many laps they have left, so they can pace themselves. You and I don't get that. We don't get how many laps we have left, but let me tell you something. You and I can take it to the sixth day. God holds the seventh day. And on the seventh day is when the breakthrough happens. It's on the seventh day that He says, come on in and take the city. The promise that I've given you, I'm going to allow you to possess it. Now listen, you've got promises. Doesn't mean you possess them yet. You've got promises. Doesn't mean you own them yet. It could be joy. It could be strength. It could be peace. It could be the picture of your family or your marriage or your friendship or your ministry. Whatever it is, it could be that picture. You may not possess it. But listen, don't give up on the sixth day. And there's some of you that are about to give up. You're on the verge of saying, I can't do it anymore. And you've already emotionally checked out. And you've mentally checked out. Physically, you're there. But you've already said, I can't do it anymore. I want to encourage you with this. Persevere. Don't give up. God is faithful. God is going to come through. And He is always going to be right on time. His timing is always perfect. And with every day and with every lap that you and I make, He's building it in you. He's building it in you. He's building trust in you. He's building faith in you. He's building something in you where you and I, in the difficult times, can hang on to Him in the middle of the darkness and say, I may not feel you, but I trust you. I believe that you're true. Because here's the deal. After Jericho, there were going to be giants. After Jericho, there were going to be cities bigger and stronger and meaner. And they needed to know what? Trust in their own sword? No. They needed to trust in God. Listen, friend, you and I got to trust in Him. Don't give up. Don't give up on six. Don't give up on six. Stay with Him. He's faithful. He's faithful to deliver His promise in your life. Would you bow your head? Let's pray together. God, I just want to thank You for Your faithfulness and Your presence in our lives. And I just want to pray for every person here that's on the verge of giving up. I have been there in different areas of my life. Many of us have been there. Sometimes we've given up. We walked away. We regretted it. Some of us in this room, it is thick going. I mean, the brush is thick and the journey is long. So, God, I pray that we would just be able to continue to sing, continue to worship, continue to trust in You. I thank You for the body of Christ, the fellowship of believers that we draw strength from, that come around us, that pray for us, that encourage us, that walk with us, that help us make it one more day. Thank You for the body. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for being God in us, for encouraging us and convicting us, for giving us a picture of what it looks like, of Your faithfulness looks like. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for giving us that. I want to ask You, God, right now to just encourage the people that are here, those that are being honest with themselves and those of us that can't be honest with ourselves yet, but we're about to give up. Help us, God, to trust in You, to make one more lap, to allow You to develop trust and faith in us just a little bit deeper, God, and we would trust You for the promise that we would value just as much what You're doing in us as what You would give us at the end, but that we would value the process just as much. God, I pray that You would strengthen people in this room this morning. There's a second group, God, I just want to pray for. And I want, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, maybe you're here this morning and you just know that God wants you to make the next step and you've not had the courage to do it yet. I just want to encourage you to stop resisting and surrender. Maybe you're just like, God, I believe that You died on a cross for me, Jesus. I've known that for a long time, but I also know down deep in my heart that I'm not a follower of Yours because I haven't surrendered my life to You. And I don't even know what all that means, but I know it means me giving up on doing it myself and trusting that You're big enough to do it for me. And so, God, this morning, I trust Jesus. I know that You died on a cross for me. I trust You to save me. I give You my life. I pray that if that's where you are here this morning, you would do that. If you're here this morning and you've been walking with God and you're like, you know what? I've never taken that first step of obedience to be baptized. I know the Scripture teaches it. I know that Jesus was baptized. I know He asked us to be baptized. And there's just things that are holding me back. I want to stop allowing things to hold me back. I want to be obedient. I want to be obedient more than anything else. I don't want to have to control what the picture looks like. I want You, God, I just want to walk with You. So I want to encourage You. I want to pray, God, that You give people the courage to say yes, to be baptized. Not for me, not for us, for you. To be a picture of what it means to say, I live in agreement with the Father. God, I pray maybe it's stepping out of our comfort zone to enter into community, to join a Bible study or to ask for accountability. Maybe it's for us, it's going to someone and saying, would you please forgive me? I really messed up. Or being willing to forgive someone else who's not even asked us for forgiveness. Whatever it is, God, that's going on in our life, the thing that's keeping us from taking the next step with you, would you help us to stop resisting? Wake up our minds and our hearts and our spirit to be aware of what it is that we're kicking against. And Holy Spirit, that you keep prodding us toward. Help us to see that clearly and to surrender to you and to say, yes, God, I will do that. I will be that. I am ready to give up trying to do it on my own. God, we thank you this morning that you have all strength. You have all perspective. You are the God of eternity. You're the God of all love and all grace. We thank you and we praise you for that this morning. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Man, we're so glad that you are here with us in worship today. And I know for many of you, it's a holiday tomorrow. And I just hope that you enjoy that with your family. We're going to take up our offering here in just a moment. And I just want to kind of give you a couple things to take with you this week. Next Sunday, we have a baptism service. Part of our service next Sunday. It's a beautiful part of our service. I just hope that if you're in town, you'll please join us. It's one of the most encouraging, moving, uplifting worship experiences that you'll ever see when you see multiple people go through the water to say, I've surrendered my life to Christ. I just want everybody to know it. I agree with God and what He's laid out for my life. I agree with Him. That's my statement today. I just hope that you'll come back for that. Tonight, because it's holiday, no small groups for middle school and high school students tonight. So just keep that in mind. As we're taking up our offering, one of the things that I'm trying to be aware of every Sunday is, what's God want to teach me about giving? Whether it's to be more generous, to give out a sacrifice, or to give with more joy, or whatever it is that God's wanting to teach me. And I'm always grateful of the pictures that God gives me of generosity. And I had one of those pictures recently when about a month ago, 2 months ago, my wife Penny and our older two sons were on a mission trip in Nicaragua, and I was at home with our youngest son, Brody, who's 13. Now, during that week, I'm dad, and I'm at work, and we're going to leave for a vacation as soon as they come back from mission trip. Billion things going on. You know, you got to get your work done so you can go on vacation, and then you got a billion things to do at home, and then it's just a ton of things. So I felt like my to-do list was like 50 things. You know what that's like every day. You forget things. You know, you become forgetful because you got so much going on. And I remember I was going to pick up food for Brody and I, which is what I did for every meal that week. And so I was going to pick up food at Chick-fil-A, and so I left the house in a rush, and I'm going to pick up because I got things I've been doing that day, and I got more stuff I got to do that night, so I'm going to Chick-fil-A. I go through the drive-thru, I order our food, I'm in the line waiting, and I realize I don't have my wallet with me. So I'm like, dadgum. And so I don't have my wallet. It's back at home. What do? And so I'm rehearsing my little thing, you know, when I get to the window. Hey, I'm so sorry. I forgot my wallet at home. I'm going to run home really quick because I live like 5 minutes away. And I'll come back and I'll pay for it. So I'm rehearsing this. And then I'm thinking about, okay, what kind of person am I going to get, you know, at the window? Because I'm thinking, you know, if I'm honest, I know what I'd be like. I'd be like, you know, sucks for you. I mean, you know, you're just going to have to, you know, I wouldn't have a lot of mercy. I'll be like, you know what? More Chick-fil-A for me, dude. That's what's going to happen. After this shift, I'm going to be eating this Chick-fil-A that was supposed to be yours. And so I get up to the window, tall kid, blonde hair, looks like he's about 17 years old. I get up there and I'm thinking, you know, hopefully this person's not to me like I would probably be to other people. And I'm just being honest. That's probably how I would be. I'd be like, you know, tough cookies, buddy. And so I get up there and I say to him my thing. And I'm like, I just ordered and I forgot my wallet and I've got to run home. And while I'm in the process, I mean, I placed an order. I'm so sorry. I forgot my wallet. He pulls out his wallet and says, that's all right, dude. I got you covered. Like that. Before I can finish what I was saying. And the Holy Spirit said, as generous as you think you are, you've got so much more to learn. I'm so grateful that God doesn't give up on me, that He continues to paint pictures through 17-year-old fast food workers of what God-like generosity looks like. Because I can tell you, I would not have done that. And He's saying, I got you covered. And I said, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. I ran home and came back. I just want to encourage you with this today. When we think we've got it all figured out, there's still more pictures of generosity. And until we get to glory and fully understand the picture of what Jesus did for us, we won't really fully understand generosity. Would you bow your head? Let's say a prayer before we take up our offering. God, we thank You that You are the author of generosity, that You gave Your Son, Jesus. There's the gift that You gave us when we think about what it means to be generous, what it means to give, what it means to love and to sacrifice. Oh, God, help us to grow. Help us, God, to understand what it means to give with joy and to give sacrificially and to give thinking and knowing that it's a privilege and to give quickly and to give that would be our second nature, would be to be generous. Not to protect what's in my pocket, but my first nature would be to give it away. Help us to be like that. We ask God that every penny, every dime, every dollar, You would take it to use to bring glory to Your name, to make disciples that bring You glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.